Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. I have Matthew from Lawrence is here. Of course, he's been on the show many times, and he always says...
I think this is number two, actually. Yeah,
really? I thought you'd been on more than that.
I don't think so. I think this is number two, yeah.
I might have to look that up. But the great thing is he's always got great information, and he's able to keep us up to date on the new products that are coming out.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe we'll ask him a stumper question, a sonar stumper question. We're not going to stump him. But anyway, we're going to throw it out.
You're giving me too much credit.
It'll end up a tip, if nothing else. It'll end up a tip. And we'll do that at the end. But we'll start with, tell us a little bit, how's the year going so far? And you have some new products coming out.
Yeah, it's going really well. We launched some new exciting stuff toward the end of the year. Last year, the Eagle family, and specifically Eagle Eye, you and I have talked about that a couple of times. So that entry level live sonar, it's really, really popular. So that's been really good. You know, there's a whole market there of people that want live sonar, want forward facing sonar, right? But don't necessarily want to spend that large amount of money on, you know, active target and an HDS or an Elite FS, right? So yeah, that little Eagle Eye 9 for $9.99, everything you need, you know, forward live sonar, downward live sonar, built-in chart, chirp sonar, downscan, it's all there.
And so tell them a little bit about the difference of what you're looking at, because when you're looking at the screen compared to like an active target 2 compared to...
Yeah, so here's what's cool about that is we actually built it off of the active target 2 technology.
Right.
So if you look at the face of an active target 2, right, there's those three, so we call them arrays. It's the sonar elements that are in there. It's got three sections of those, right?
Okay.
And processing all of that is why we need the module and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
What we did for Eagle Eye is we just cut two of them off. So that got the module out of the middle, in between, so the transducer plugs right into the back of the display, and then it gives you your two beams of live sonar. So you have one pointed more down and one pointed more forward.
Right. And so and talk a little bit about the array, because that people get that confused, and also talk about the seams that you have inside there.
Yeah, so the way active target works is those three faces on the transducer, right? And each one is responsible for a certain section of that whole 135-degree coverage area, right?
Right.
And then what the module does is process those and put them together.
Right. And it does it very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
Like, and that's how the speed is how you're getting to see the fish turn or swim and the tail move.
Yep.
Is there a peak distance that you think that the, and we'll talk about the just the active target too. Is there a peak distance where it's like, you know, the honey hole, the sweet spot?
Yeah, everybody's a little bit different because we all cast a little bit different, right? So generally, I find people run it in that 80 to 120 foot forward range,
right?
Which is basically enough to launch a bait and see it hit the water, right? So right in that kind of middle section of, you know, making a good cast is really where I see people running the forward mode.
Right. And what talking about the sweet spot, what's the distance that the array would be out at, say, like 60 feet?
Yeah, there's your stump question, because that's trigonometry right there. I'm not going to do it in my head. Yeah, so it's an 18-degree beam, sideways, width-wise, whatever you want to call it. So it's pretty narrow, so you got to be pretty accurate.
But once the farther out you go... The more you
it's
see.
The same. Yeah, it's the same as anything, right? It's a little pie wedge, right? So the further away you get from where it's coming from, the more the distance is left or right, right? But it's still pretty narrow because it's only 18 degrees.
And we could get into the argument of or the discussion of live sonar or forward facing sonar and 2D sonar. You know, what's good for the sport and what's not good for the sport. You know, personally, I feel like if that helps someone go out and go fishing and catch fish, there's a lot of people that get your products, especially they're getting that because they can afford it, and that helps them maximize their time on water, because no one wants to go out there and not catch
something. Nobody wants to go get skunked, right? That's not fun, right? Well, it is. It's better than sitting at the office, but it's not as fun.
Not much, dude. Nothing's fun with sitting in the office. I know you don't like sitting in the office. I know what you like to do. The office today is going to be on the water, and you're going to go over to Beaver Lake or something.
Something, yep.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But so that, you have that product. Is there any other?
Yeah. So those Eagles were new toward the end of last year, and then also right at the end of the year, really the start of this year, was the Elite FS 10 and 12.
Right.
So Elite FS was already right in that middle part of our display families, right? So little, you know, step up from Eagle. And a little bit of a step down from HDS, right? It's kind of everything you need right there in the middle part. And we used to have that on a 7-inch and a 9-inch only, but now we've launched a 10 and a 12. So if you're looking for a bigger screen, but don't necessarily, again, want to spend all the money to go up to an HDS. Now you have that option. You have something that will let you do live sonar. It gets you, you know, 1 foot contours all over the country and on your chart.
Right.
Side scan, down scan, all that stuff. Like I said, you could run active target on it, but then you can have it on a 10-inch or a 12-inch screen too. So if you need that bigger screen size but don't want to step all the way up, now you have an option there.
And talk about the transducer. So the transducer, is that compatible with the HDS, or do they have separate transducers?
It's a separate transducer. Okay. So it's the regular active
imaging. You can't just switch one to the other because of the plug-in.
The plug's actually the same, but it's the guts inside that are different. So Elite FS can't do the super high-resolution, high-frequency active imaging HD that HDS Pro can.
Uh-huh.
But it does do the regular active imaging. So it's still the 455 or 800 side scan and down scan. Still really awesome resolution.
Right.
You just get a little bit better when you step up to HDS.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit, and not to switch gears much, we're still talking about technology, and that's fish reveal. That is something that, right, is unique to Lowrance.
That is correct, yeah.
And so a lot of times, I know when I'm putting my unit on and I change some stuff and I go back and it's not on there, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't, you know, like, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Like, and so tell them about Fish Reveal, and them the reason why it's special.
Fish Reveal is really cool. You know, you mentioned all the different sonar technologies, right? Like, each one has its place, right? You kind of need all of them in your tool belt, basically, right? In order to go out and break a body of water down. So what we found was people were using traditional sonar and downscans side by side, right?
Right.
And then you have to do the mental math in your head to say, okay, this thing over here on sonar is that thing over here on downscan, right? And really where the two different technologies shine, right? Downscan is really good at super high resolution stuff, right? Trees look like trees, rocks look like rocks, right? And then your traditional sonar, you know, has got your big fat fish arches and is good at bait tracking, that kind of stuff, right? So you kind of need them both to fill in the whole picture, right? Well, having them side by side means A, you're increasing your mental load on what you're looking at and trying to decipher what they're showing you, right?
Right.
But it also means you're cutting your screen size in half, right? So I've got this much of this one and this much of this one where I could have the whole thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So what we did is we took the two parts that you want, really, right? We took your super high resolution stuff from downscan,
right?
And we took your big fat fish arches from traditional sonar and put them together. So what we do is we take every fish arch out of the sonar picture. We make it a little bit brighter, a little bit hotter, so that it shows up nice on downscan, and then put it on top of the trees and the rocks and the structure from downscan.
And one of the advantages is you have numerous palettes for people to look at. And so tell them what a palette is and how you can
change it. Yeah, it's a question we get a lot, and we give you lots of options. So I think that's why we get that question a lot. But everybody's a little bit different, right? So. On all the sonars, whether it's, you know, side scan or down scan or active target or traditional sonar, we have a whole bunch of different color palettes in there. And it's basically, you know, when we see a sonar return, you know, it runs a spectrum of, you know, how strong that return is, right?
Right.
And the color palette applies different colors to different strengths of return. Some of them, you know, yellow is super hot. Some of them red is super hot. You know, the stronger return is what I mean, right? So it just depends. So we get asked a lot, which color palette should I run? And I can't answer that question for you, right? Everybody's a little bit different. And you know, sometimes people like different color palettes in different situations, right? If it's cloudy outside, you might want one a little bit darker. If it's super bright outside, you might want one a little bit brighter. And, you know, my eyes are a little bit different than your eyes, right? So that's why we gave you so many options.
And does the color palette, can you change that on Fish Reveal?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you turn
really
Fish Reveal on... Yeah, you get two options for the color palette then, right? You have your downscan color palette and you have your Fish Reveal Fish Arch color palette, right?
Yeah.
So I like to take and run the downscan on something a little more dark, so like a black background with like the brown or like the red.
Uh-huh.
And then I like to take the Fish Reveal part and make that super bright, so like yellow or white. And so that way I know there's, you know, the two different color palettes don't really cross over each other, right? So that way I know, you know, when I see a color, which one it's coming from.
Right, and that's a tip. Like, if you didn't record this or pull it back and listen to it again, that you talk about popping and being in trees, we'll just use an example as Beaver Lake, where there's a lot of submerged cedar trees.
Yeah.
And every limb
holds
fish. In the old days it was like, oh, that's a fish. But then you were fishing for something that wasn't a fish on Chirp.
Yeah.
Now you can take that Fish Reveal and go down.
That's the other thing about, you know, downscan and traditional sonar, right? So because of the nature of downscan, right, it's more, I always say it's more true to life, right? You've seen it, right? You can see tree limbs, you can see, you know, where they branch off, that kind of stuff, right? But because it's true to life, it also means when you think about a fish next to a tree, how big is a fish?
Right.
He's this big, right? Uh-huh. So he's kind of hard to see on downscan. So that's another reason why you want those big fish arches.
Right. Let's talk about menus and making them friendly. You know, when people turn their unit on, I think most people want to turn their unit on and let it do all the work.
Yep.
So talk to us about how, like, if someone got a unit and they turn it on, is there really stuff to change, or is it most of it just a few custom settings they would do?
So this, I love this question because it allows me to give a big shout out to our user experience team that we have at Lowrance.
Okay.
So we have a whole team of really smart people that test, you know, how button flows work and how do I get into this menu and how do I get into that menu? How do I swap this or change that? And they do a whole bunch of research and a whole bunch of testing to find what people like, what do they not like,
right.
How easy is this, how hard is this? And that's how it led us to things like if you look at an Eagle series, right? When you pop the sidebar menu out, you get a big green auto button up on top, right? Like, like we got you. We can tune it for you automatically.
Right.
If you want to go in and manually adjust stuff, it's all in there. But our user experience team does a whole lot of work to make everything we do super simple and easy to use.
Yeah, that's a big bonus for a lot of people.
They're very good at what they do.
Okay, so here we go. Now, been doing a lot of research, talking to a lot of people. And so on Active Target 2, the thing that you excel at, Lowrance excels at, is bottom separation and fish.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that bottom separation and fish and being able to see it.
Yeah.
That the quality somehow, it's like mojo, right? Because he's not going to tell us. Like,
it's a secret sauce.
It's a secret sauce. But tell us, like, the separation of things so you can see that fish. Because a lot of people, when they see the fish, they go, oh, the fish moved down. But I don't think the fish moved down. Like, they'll say it moved down into the mud. Well, it really has it.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is another one of those things where I get to shout out one of our teams, right? We have an entire team of sonar engineers who, again, are very good at what they do, from transducer design to shaping the size and shape of sonar beams and cones and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Signal processing, you know, taking the echo and actually turning it into a fish arch or, you know, an active target picture, whatever. The color palettes we just talked about.
Uh-huh.
Again, those guys are very good at what they do. They're very experienced team in sonar. We've been doing sonar for a long time, as you know.
That's right.
So that's another one of those places where, you know, I got to give it up to the engineers that are building it, right?
Yeah. And you have your own testing lab, because I've been over there.
Yep.
I was over there when you were doing the Ghost trolling motor.
Yep, that's
Jimmy
right.
Jimmy and I came over, and you had, like, the thing, and they actually turned it on. And they turned it on high, like all at once, and some water came out. And I was like, that's a bad boy right there. That's going to be, that's going to be
Ghost,
the beast.
Ghost is a great motor. Like we named it Ghost for a reason, right? It's super quiet, stealthy, right? And then it gives you all the power you need so you can, you know, get into and out of a spot, you know, whatever.
And you also did it so it'd fit 24 and 36 volt. Another genius idea. Whoever did that needs a bonus. They should be calling me, like, Brad, thanks for giving me a shout out for that. But right? I mean, the functionality of the Ghost is being able that it's quiet, it's powerful, it does a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Ghost is it's what you just said. It's quiet, powerful, and efficient, right? And it's got that same sort of feel that you're used to with the foot pedal. You know, if you're coming from an old school style cable steer motor, you know, it looks and feels like what you're used to. So it's very easy to put a Ghost on and put your foot on it and go catch fish. Yeah.
How about the shaft for people that are listening that might be a little tough on their trolling motors?
Yeah.
What's your shaft?
Yeah. So it's a composite shaft. And you remember when you were there, you saw the shaft stress test that we do in the office.
Yeah.
You got to do a lot to bend a shaft and break one.
There's always someone out there, though.
There's always somebody out there.
There's always someone out there. Who is the toughest angler on your trolling motors?
Oh, that's a good question. Ike. Ike is the toughest.
I believe that.
Yeah, Ike was full send all the time.
Ooh. That's crazy.
Yeah, I love it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But good testing, right?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the reasons why we like him, right? If he's going to break stuff, then we, you know. I mean, I know he's going to break stuff, right? So then that gives us a better opportunity to, you know, make what we have better.
There you go. That takes us up to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So anything you need to go fishing, I guess if you have your electronics and your trolling motor and you're good to go, you know, just stop by picolures.com and you can find the lures that you need to catch them. The Fishing Guide Podcast is also sponsored by B&M Poles. Of course, they have a complete line of rods for crappie fishing. They have so many crappie fishing rods, it's insane. You have to check those out. But they also have rods for cat fishing. They got rods for trout fishing, saltwater, you name it. They got a rod that you can go fishing with and catch fish with. So make sure you check their rods out and all their products at bnmpoles.com. If they want to find out more about Lowrance or new products, where would they go?
Yeah, so the best place for that is if you want to watch some videos about products, how to push buttons, use stuff, there's a whole bunch of videos on our YouTube channel.
Okay.
But if you just want some general product info, that's Lowrance.com. There's a section in there. If you've got an HDS Pro, an HDS Live, an HDS Carbon, or an Elite FS,
right.
We just put out our new 25.1 software update, I think 2 weeks ago.
All right.
And that's got a whole bunch of improvements for Active Target. Like, so you're talking about how good it is at seeing fish and stuff. It's really, really awesome now.
All right. Well, it sounds good. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.